Okay, so for today's deep dive, we're getting into the 2024-25 annual report excerpts from a major Department of Environmental Affairs. This is more than just numbers on a page. It's really a scorecard for how a vital region is handling, well, some pretty intense pressures. Our mission here is to pull out the key metrics and strategies that, you know, really matter.
And when you look at the minister's foreword, the context is just startling. The report calls it a dual crisis. So on one side, you have the immediate reality of climate change. We're talking persistent drought risks, these destructive winter storms, huge wildfires. But on the other side, you have this dramatic demographic pressure. The region's population grew by nearly 20% in the last decade, and they have to get ready for an estimated 1.2 million more people.
That level of strain on infrastructure, on natural resources, it's just almost unimaginable.
It is, and it creates a real high-stakes situation, especially for biodiversity. The report points out this area has over 10,000 unique plant species, and get this, 68% of them are found nowhere else on Earth. But the sobering fact is that 334 of those endemic species are currently threatened. So that context makes what the department achieved operationally even more remarkable.
Right. Let's talk about those achievements. Because despite budget constraints, despite critical staff vacancies, they still managed to meet over 90% of their planned targets.
Mm-hmm.
How do you even maintain that level of governance when the stakes are so high?
It seems to come down to a real focus on regulatory efficiency. What's fascinating here is the speed. They managed to finalize 97% of all environmental impact assessment applications within the legal timeframes.
97%.
That's
incredibly fast for government approvals.
It is. It suggests they're really prioritizing moving projects forward, but, you know, hopefully while still keeping that regulatory rigor.
That speed can come with a trade-off. But then you pivot to enforcement, and it looks like they're taking serious action. Tell us about the Green Scorpions.
The Green Scorpions are basically the environmental police for the area, and their role is critical. They conducted 337 compliance inspections, and that led to 240 administrative enforcement actions for violations. So these are formal warnings, directives, fines. It's a way to stop environmental harm without getting bogged down in the slow court process. It's effective, quick deterrence.
And the report gets specific about where that enforcement was focused. We're talking about really persistent issues. They're targeting sewage pollution from aging infrastructure, illegal dumping, and pollution from informal settlements where, you know, basic services are lacking.
Exactly.
Which connects directly back to that 1.2 million person growth you mentioned.
Precisely. So looking forward, resilience is clearly the strategy. They've developed what they call climate change adaptation pathways. These are focused on four critical clusters: agriculture and food security, water security, ecological infrastructure, and built infrastructure.
So they're trying to future-proof the whole system.
That's the goal.
And they also tie this environmental planning directly to the economy with the Green Economy Ecosystem Support Project, or GEs. It supported 430 industry players. What was the goal there?
It was proactive international positioning. They were preparing local businesses for the new European Union Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanisms, or CBAM.
Right.
So put simply, the EU is about to slap tariffs on carbon-heavy imports. GEE helps local companies prove they're green enough to avoid those tariffs, which keeps them competitive.
And on the domestic front, the waste goals are just staggering. A 32% total waste diversion rate in 2023, with organic waste hitting 30% of that total. What does the 2027 goal of 100% organic waste diversion actually mean for the average person?
It means radical change in your household. It means a massive rollout of dedicated organic waste collection, industrial composting. It's a fundamental shift in how everyone manages kitchen and garden waste, a huge logistical undertaking. And they also confirmed they maintained really strong financial governance, securing an unqualified audit opinion.
Which is the best you can get.
It's the highest assurance their books are clean.
So what does this all mean when you put it together? The big takeaway seems to be that effective governance and strategic planning are actually winning against these immense pressures.
Yeah. For now, yes. The report really paints a picture of overworked success. Given that budget constraints meant they couldn't fill critical, specialized posts like air quality officers in some municipalities, you have to ask,
how much longer can this hold up?
Exactly. How long can this high success rate be sustained when it depends so heavily on the dedication and, frankly, the extended hours of existing staff in these highly specialized roles? That's the real long-term risk to all these impressive targets.